Hello, good morning. Welcome to Connected, the brand new podcast from ITS. We're here to talk about technology, here to talk about business, and we'll be exploring some of the biggest themes in the market. We're going to look at shifts in technology. We're going to look at the challenges businesses are facing and the solutions that they're looking for from their tech. Every episode, we're going to be joined by a guest that's in some way, shape, or form interacting with that technology and with businesses. And we're going to be interviewing businesses from all across the UK, talking to some of the tech providers that serve them as well. So my name's Dave Ferry. I'm Sales Director here at ITS. And alongside me, we've got tech marketer Catherine McNamara. And today, for our very first podcast, I'm delighted that we're joined by Luke Hunt from Focus Group. Luke, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi there, Dave. Hi, Catherine. Hi. So, I'm at Focus Group. I'm the Head of Network Services there. So I've been working there for almost 14 years now. We're headquartered down in sunny Shoreham-by-Sea, but we've offices across the UK. So we've got sort of 14 regional offices, 950 staff working out of there, everywhere from the southwest down in Cornwall all the way up to the northeast coast of Scotland. So cover the whole of the UK. And my role is to look after the commercial side of things for our connectivity portfolio. So I work a lot with suppliers, making sure that like my aim is essentially to grow the value of the connectivity business that we do. So work a lot with suppliers to make sure that we've got goals aligned and that we're working together to grow the business that we do and look at how we can work together more effectively and productively. And then also working with sales teams. How much do you want to know?
No, it's good. So that pretty much explains why the worlds of ITS and Focus Group have collided together over the last few years. So, what's 2024 been like in the tech industry, Luke? What have you been seeing? And then I guess Dave, same from your side as well.
So yeah, it's 2024. It's been. So I suppose a year of change with the election coming in. There's been a bit of uncertainty about what the new government is going to be like. I think we've still got a bit of that, seeing how that's sort of going to pan out. But from a technology point of view, I think the big thing that didn't happen is the PSTN switch off. So we're all expecting BT to turn off their WLR network at the end of this year. That's now been postponed to 2027. But we're still seeing customers more and more migrating over to fibre technologies. And I think the other kind of hot topics for 2024 has been AI and the rise of that and seeing how that's getting embedded into applications and online services everywhere. And also the rise of cyber threats and the importance of cybersecurity.
That one's a bit topical, I think, isn't it, after Friday?
Yeah, well, we saw last week what an outage, a global outage, how much disruption that can cause. And that wasn't even a malicious attack.
No. You know,
that was just a software issue. So it was like devices recovered relatively quickly, but it still caused massive disruption. So, yeah, it just shows what a large attack could do.
What have your customers thought about that, Luke? Did they kind of... Are people panicked now that the security software has been the problem? And that's the thing everyone's been trying to get sorted to not have a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just it's just highlighted the need to have protocols in place to deal with these kind of issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so reliant on tech and IT that, you know, they've just realised that there needs to be some sort of backup plan in place for when it goes wrong.
Yeah,
so, and Luke and Dave, you both interact with businesses on a daily basis, and you've kind of mentioned there how, you know, AI has been kind of far more topical this year because it's kind of a bit of a snowball, right? Mm. Nobody's kind of quite clear how big and how impactful it could be. Similarly, the threat of cyber and kind of the applications that are kind of going over the connectivity, which I guess is, you know, the common denominator through this conversation. How are those conversations panning out? Do people fully understand, or is there a complexity that you're having to navigate because actually we don't know kind of what the art of the possible is with some of this technology? How are those conversations with businesses kind of panning out?
So I think from my perspective, our conversations tend to be with our partners, like Focus Group, who take our product and turn that into a full customer solution, often bringing together other best-in-class product as well. I think from a connectivity angle, we're definitely seeing more businesses demanding fibre. Businesses in sectors that previously could cope without fibre are definitely now needing that and asking for that and driving towards it. Retail, hospitality, leisure were kind of not that up on having the best bandwidth, the best reliability until recently. Certainly professional services businesses would be demanding that. We've seen a massive spike this year through our partners in connectivity into retail, hospitality and leisure on full fibre, often with high bandwidths, but also a lot more in way of resilience as well. Even into some pub chains, we're seeing orders coming through from our partners for resilient connections because the connectivity is just becoming more and more important for the things they want to do, whether that's taking customer card payments, providing customer Wi-Fi, or for one customer that we helped to partner with was having an issue that they couldn't do both in some of their shops. So they couldn't have their card payments and their customer Wi-Fi on. And for a coffee shop, they really needed that. So we've helped them resolve that problem with a partner who's put some other stuff over the top of it. So I think we're seeing that demand for bandwidth. I think, Luke, you're probably seeing the reasons why that demand for bandwidth's there. I don't know whether you've got any views.
Yeah, there's a whole host of things fueling it. Obviously, remote working, hybrid working is a big thing now. For the last 4 years, that's just grown massively. You know, it's sort of most businesses have some sort of hybrid working or remote working in place for some of their staff. That just puts more demands when you've got half your team in the office and half the team at home, and they're all communicating over Teams, video, you know, that and collaboration tools. That drives the need for a good stable connection, and using like video is used a lot more now as a tool for meeting customers and interacting with your customers. So again, you can't have a poor quality call when you're trying to sell something or trying to support a customer. So I think that the businesses more and more understand that they need to invest in their connectivity and have a stable connection and a fast connection. And I think we're going to see AI increasing the need for that bandwidth, and you know, who knows what's around the corner. If the metaverse, you know, immersive VR takes off, then the bandwidth requirements for that is just astronomical.
I think, to be fair, I think we've reached a point really for a lot of homes and businesses where we've got more bandwidth available than we need. So I would challenge whether anybody at home really needs a gigabit or a multi-gigabit connection. I think it's probably the first time in my career in the industry that we've had more bandwidth out there than the applications that drive it. But I think if you look back over history, when you have that bandwidth available, that kind of abundant bandwidth, entrepreneurs come up with things that need it and things that will use it. And I think we're just kind of waiting for that killer application, really. And I guess none of us really know what it is. It might be AI, it might be the metaverse, could be something none of us have thought of yet, but something's going to come along that uses all that bandwidth and improves our either working lives, personal lives, or gives us access to more.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, actually, because we see with FTTP, so fiber broadband connections, the most popular one that we sell is 80/20. Mm. Like, you know, you've got a choice of all the way up to a gig, and there's not a huge price difference from 80 meg to a gig, but customers are, you know, are opting for 80/20. They know they've got the option to upgrade in the future if they need to, but I think it's more about having the stability and the reliability that they get from a fiber connection. So the speeds are good enough for them. They know that there's more there if they need it, if you know, those killer applications come along in the future. But that having that reliable connection that gives them consistent performance is important to them.
What kind of tech are they pushing over that, Luke? What's that 80/20 kind of accommodating?
And I say 80/20, that's the BT FTTP. I'm conscious that obviously IHS have got symmetrical services, but again, your fiber light service, 100 meg, is that's the most popular one. You've got an option for 500 or a gig. So the services that they're running is the, you know, the collaboration software, unified communications, accessing cloud applications. Lots of customers have moved services into the cloud. So they need to ensure that they can, you know, access those all the time, and with the performance that they need.
I think your point's valid, though. Look, it's definitely about that reliability for a lot of businesses, rather than the bandwidth. I think certainly a lot of the platforms that we use, Teams, Zoom, compress that data quite hard anyway to make things kind of efficient on your bandwidth. But having a connection that you know is not going to fall over, it's got good latency, sometimes that's more important actually than the headline bandwidth speed. And I think quite a lot of businesses know that. I think certainly when you look across the business landscape in the UK, 99% of businesses are SMEs, less than 250 employees, and actually most of those are less than 10. And you've got businesses across such a broad range of different industry verticals, and they are moving to the cloud, sometimes by stealth. You know, you buy Microsoft Office these days, it's 365, it's in the cloud. You're not kind of making a conscious effort that you've got a cloud strategy. You're just buying some software you need, but actually they need that reliable connection, especially if all of their documents and everything else is stored centrally. They need to know that they can get onto that whenever they need to and wherever they need to, I guess. Are you seeing that with your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean the uptake of 365 and Teams has been massive with them.
And just thinking about kind of a bit of a year-on-year comparison. So if we were to jump in the DeLorean in Back to the Future and go back 2 years, what was kind of the from a connectivity perspective, what were people taking versus what they are now? Have we seen much difference in terms of that uptake and uplift just in, you know, from this point in time, looking back? That's a question to both of you.
I think we've seen a shift. Definitely now gigabit, certainly if you look at Ethernet kind of service, leased line service, gigabit bearer is the de facto, with a lot more people now looking at 10 gig. The way our network works, we're kind of lucky that we don't really have the bearer constraints. We kind of market the same way the rest of the industry does, but we can take someone all the way up to a 5 gig. We're definitely seeing more people now taking those services towards a 10 gig. Still only seeing a very thin slice of full 10 gig, but a lot more kind of 2 on 10, 3 on 10. But we're seeing a reduction in the amount of 100 meg kind of Ethernet services being taken. And then I think in terms of kind of more contended kind of Ethernet light or broadband services, we're just seeing more businesses take that rather than buying something else out there in the market that's on copper. We've had more orders from our partners in the first half of this year for full fiber than we had in the whole of last year. And that growth, I think, is just going to continue as well as more businesses adopt it. So, no, Luke, what your thoughts are?
Yeah, I think same as that. And I think the 2 years ago, I think the demand was there, but maybe the availability wasn't. And as suppliers have rolled out their fiber networks, it's now become more available. So there's a, you know, customers are aware of the benefits that fiber offers largely. And then, yeah, there's more and more customers able to take advantage of that because it's more available.
How many of your customers are coming to you with fiber as the lead product versus something else as the lead product that then needs to be underpinned by fiber?
So fiber is always the enabler. So there's the need is created by the applications that they're using. But when customers are coming to us, often it will be because they're having problems in the business because their connectivity, they don't have the right connectivity in place. So they're coming to us to make sure, you know, we can put something in place for them that's going to work.
And you guys have obviously come together from lots of other small businesses over the last few years right across the country. Are you seeing different demands geographically, or do you tend to see the businesses that come to you have the same challenges no matter where they are in the country?
So there's definitely different challenges caused by the geography. So we've got, you know, businesses up in the Highlands of Scotland where they can't get fibre. They can't even get a decent copper broadband connection. So we're having to find solutions for them that meet their requirements, because they've got the same requirements as everyone else, you know, doing more and more online, and they need that bandwidth. But we've been looking at, you know, 5G where that's available, or low Earth orbit satellites. So, you know, innovative, you know, solutions like that, and probably a similar story down in Cornwall. But across, you know, the sort of the metro areas all across the country, it's like similar demand, to be honest with you.
So outside of the things that you're seeing that are kind of driving potential consumption, like AI and kind of evolving cyber threat landscapes that mean people have to kind of invest in different tech. If you look at Focus Group's own roadmap, is there anything in development or anything over the next 12 months that you're looking to integrate into your kind of portfolio that is that you think would be of interest that you could share with us?
So I mean, a lot of it is around AI and cybersecurity, to be honest with you. So things like Microsoft Copilot, we're already selling that, offering that to customers. But there's challenges involved with rolling that out, you know, to a business. They need to identify where it's going to have the most impact. But before they enable it, it's very easy to enable it. You just buy the license from Microsoft. But if there's a lot that a business needs to do to prepare for that, because they've got to look at their data governance and access controls, because it can actually expose sensitive information to people that probably shouldn't be seeing that. So there's quite a lot of prep that customers need to do on that. So we're helping them on that journey to prepare for it. And cybersecurity, I think, is just a massively important issue. And AI goes with that as well, because novice cyber criminals can actually use AI to create some quite sophisticated attacks now. So we need to make sure we're one step ahead of that. We've launched recently a managed security operations center. It's affordable for SMEs. So it's the kind of thing that enterprise businesses would only be able to access previously. But we've set this up and made it affordable for SMEs, so they can protect their businesses without while staying within their budgets.
I heard a Copilot horror story that some people were on a call that was being transcribed by Copilot, and people stayed on the call. And they had a chat about the people who had left the call, not maybe in the most positive manner. And then everybody received a transcript at the end of the call with everybody being told what had been said about them from that transcript. So I think there's probably some business policy decisions and things like that businesses need to consider before they roll out some of this technology too.
Oh, I love it when there's a little bit of technology that goes kind of rogue, but not like...
Not like cloud.
Not like it's going to bring your business down rogue, but, the eek. I was once, a little side story, I was once doing a discovery call with a new PR agency at a company I used to work with, and the CEO of the PR agency brought a dictaphone along with her. So she said in each of the meetings she came into, she was meeting all the board members, and she said, "Do you mind awfully if I record so I can take the notes back?" And it's like, absolutely fine. Because you wouldn't think twice about it now, would you? Say, "No, can I record this Teams call?" And she did the very same thing. She left the dictaphone running as we were doing a debrief. And then at the end, everybody like looked at the table and was like, "Oh my God, and it was like a proper old school one with like a little cassette in it, the kind of thing. But yeah, oh goodness. But nothing's going to quite take the biscuit like CrowdStrike last week, I don't think.
No.
But Copilot, how? And this is me asking pretend I know nothing. How is that going to be something that is just going to be incorporated into our Office 365 packages moving forward? Is that going to become part of the norm, or am I asking a really dumb question and it's there already and I just don't know it's there?
It's there already, which it can be enabled just with a license. So it's not provided as default, but it's something that could be enabled very easily on 365. And I think as businesses see the sort of efficiencies and productivity gains they can get from it, then it will be rolled out more and more.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because you get these shifts. I remember when, I don't like referring back to the beginning of COVID, but everything just shifted forward really quickly, didn't it? And I remember, and it was actually an ITS call. It was an all ITS, all hands call. And it was a Teams link came out. And I was like, "What is this Teams?" And I literally had my own business and had an Office 365. But it was just this application within the suite that I never touched and never knew was there. And thought, "Oh, you have to have Zoom, don't you? Or you have to buy like a conferencing software." And it blew my mind. And I guess this is probably going to be one of the things that we're going to see over the next 12 to 18 months, that, like you say, Luke, if it's there already but it needs activating with a license, then it's going to become part of the, you talk about cloud by stealth, Dave, it's almost like AI adoption by stealth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
it's you know, it's in a lot of search engines and things. So things that we use every day, it's already there, isn't it? It's, you know, it's coming into our daily lives. Mm. So I think it's just something that is here to stay and we'll get used to.
Just needs that catalyst, which I think, you know, I worked in corporate world and WebEx, Cisco WebEx had the mantle for video conferencing in the corporate world until COVID, and then everybody just shifted to Teams, and that catalyst mm. for everybody moving there. Teams and Zoom most kind of grab most of that market share in that period. There will be a catalyst that drives the next thing, and it drives that adoption of the tech, and it drives businesses or residents or consumers to kind of say, I need a bit of that thing. And then I guess they need the connectivity and other services to underpin it. You know, your point around security is really valid. If you're going to do more and more on AI tools, you're going to send more and more data across your connections, and you need to make sure that data is secure as well, so you don't end up mm-hmm. with any kind of breach.
So what keeps you awake at night, Luke? I don't think, not from a personal perspective, unless you want to
there, but... Nice story.
No, I think it's got to be like the cybersecurity threat. You know, we've talked about it quite a lot, but that's the scariest thing happening at the moment. I think just the fact that, you know, some, you know, non-IT, you know, not very IT literate sort of teenager sat in their bedroom could actually bring down a, you know, a business, and the impact that it has on a business is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, some businesses never recover from an attack, so it's, you know, it's really important key things, you know, people's livelihoods and jobs and that kind of thing that can suffer. So you know, we need to stay one step ahead of the sort of cyber criminals and make sure that we've got solutions in place to protect our customers. I think if I did have trouble sleeping, that would probably be the thing keeping me up. It's not my responsibility, though. I look after connectivity. So I leave that to cleverer people in Focus to come up with the solutions for that.
Internet connections keep me and Luke both awake at night. No other assumption. To be fair, I hadn't really thought about the security stuff, but I went to a conference. Platform X did a conference for when they launched their new brand, and they had someone on stage from one of security product on there. But they also had a lady on who was an ethical hacker, and she was mega clever and was really, really engaging presenter. And she was talking about how a lot of these kind of cyber criminals, the business is structured like your business or mine, Luke, and they've got, you know, got a CEO, and they've got an HR team, and they're recruiting people, and they've got a sales director. They've got all these functions within this kind of criminal underworld in these businesses, and they're massive, massive organizations with thousands of employees working for them out there trying to kind of hack into whatever, whether that's consumers, businesses, whatever they're trying to get. And it absolutely blew my mind. I don't think I was worried about it till she presented, and definitely something that kind of plays on my mind since I saw that presentation.
It's literally an industry.
Yeah, there's big money in it, yeah.
What sector do you work in?
Cybercriminal.
So it would be remiss of us to be having a technology themed podcast and conversation without asking what piece of tech you couldn't live without.
Go on. Is this for me?
Yeah, I'm going to answer as well.
I want you both to answer. I hope you're not going to say co-pilot because you've been laughing.
I would quite literally be lost without my phone because Google Maps, like, you know, I use all the time. But I think the tech that I would go for, I'm a really keen runner. So my Garmin smartwatch is the key thing for me. If it's not on Strava, then it didn't happen. So I just need to make sure that I log every kilometre.
So are you still getting some runs in? Is your knee better now?
No, it's not. Another operation, but yeah, so I'm on the bike at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. You can tell me more about that. We'll see you on Thursday. I think for me, there's probably two things. At home, it's definitely connected speakers. We've got connected speakers all over the house. We're a bit of a family that's always got some music on in the background. If we're cooking, if we're just hanging out, there's always music on, and we've got kind of Sonos connected speakers all over the house. I got into it years ago. We met the guys from Sonos before Sonos was a thing, when they were way ahead of the curve, and bought one of their speakers, and then I've ended up with it everywhere. So at home, definitely that. I think in work, it's got to be a laptop. You know, can't cope without it. And decent battery life and being connected all the time and being able to do what you need to do. I definitely couldn't cope with that laptop in my bag.
Excellent. I'm not going to share what my favourite piece of tech is.
Go on, what's your favourite bit of tech?
It's super analogue. It's like not next generation in any way, shape or form. It's my my dual node meat thermometer so that I can get my roast bang on every time and make sure I don't kill people when I have barbecues.
Well, I do use mine for that as well. I've got a similar setup. The other thing I've got, the analogue piece of tech I've got recently, for my birthday, the family got me loop earplugs. Oh. And they actually for tinnitus, and these earplugs are they're called loop switch, and you can change how much sound they allow through. So you can pretty much mute everything, or you can allow conversation through, or you can allow everything through. And when I got them, I opened them up, I thought, how do I connect these to my phone? But they're not. It's a fully analog kind of mechanical device that works.
That's
for
like
them.
A hearing aid, Dave. Are you sure it's not hearing aid?
I'll end up with one of them one day. And with the glasses for them.
Changing your new mature look.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Mature, old.
Well, listen, that I think is a really great place to wrap this discussion up. However, we have one more question, Luke. So in the spirit of passing it on, for our next episode, we'd like you to ask a question that we can pose to our next guest.
Okay. This is AI themed. So do you think AI could do a better job as England manager than Gareth Southgate?
Interesting.
It is an interesting question. I think sometimes you've got a look of Southgate when I saw him on the Luke on the
do you know, I got someone took a selfie with me on the tube recently because they said I look like Gareth Southgate.
I was like, you weren't also doubling up as that German police officer, were you?
Yeah,
he's
a proper doppelganger.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? He was brilliant. Well, listen, Luke, thank you so much for coming on. And Dave, I think that was a cracking first episode.
Well, good. It was good.
And obviously we'll be back with more episodes speaking to people from across the industry. And you'll be able to follow us, like and subscribe, and obviously pass it on to any colleagues that you think may just get some value from listening to us talk for half an hour. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Luke. Thanks for being our first guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers.